Overcoming life. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along. Overcoming life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "The person closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited salat upon me abundantly in this world." Sallu alal Habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching us on our series Overcoming Life. And before I start, just like we did on the other episodes, I want to mention a bit more about this hadith. We touched on something similar the other day, but I want to touch on this again. Because Abdul Hanan, this is again another beautiful hadith. This is another one of my favorite hadiths. And the hadith I just mentioned, I just want the viewers to picture how beautiful it is. "The closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sends the most blessings upon me." SubhanAllah. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I want them to imagine this again. Because imagine being close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine being so close to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can see that blessed face. That blessed face which has been described in the hadiths by Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu as more handsome and beautiful than the moon. And not any moon, the moon of the 14th, when it's at the peak of its beauty. And in the way it was described as well, how beautiful that hadith is. Looking at the moon, looking at Rasulullah, looking at the moon, looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And coming to the conclusion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beautiful than the moon, subhanAllah. And this is just one narration. There's even other plenty, thousands of narrations that describe the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, just for the views of Madni Channel, one thing I want to mention here. And actually, it's a question. It's the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah.
Allah.
Ground's made out of copper, right? The sun is 1.25 miles from our heads. People are in the state.
In their own sweats.
In their own sweat. People don't know what's happening. People are in frustration. You know, they're lost. At that time, who will be in most ease?
Or the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Those people. And then those people who are most nearer to them. That's where the mercy of Allah will be showering. Upon the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Upon the Awliya. Upon the Sahaba. And the people who are closer to them people, they will be under this protection as well. They'll be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because these are the people who are accepted in the court of Allah. So they will be in ease. But everyone else will be in a state. So reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This being closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means being in most protected place, the most secured and safe place. So at least we should get into this habit. If you want your safety, protection, easiness on that day, then recite salat in abundance, inshallah.
Inshallah. So let's all make intention to recite salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abundantly. So let's make intention to start doing this, inshallah. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today's topic is about the pressure to be perfect. And this is something that is happening quite a lot. It's we have this feeling of people always feeling that they have to be perfect in everything they do. School, you have to be perfect. And often that thought is being put into their minds from someone else as well. I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect in this, I have to be perfect in that. Perfect in everything. Except in Islam.
Yes, to be honest with you, perfection is with Allah alone, right? And then Allah grants this perfection to His Prophets, alayhim wasalam. These are the people who were made perfect by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot reach their maqam. We can never reach the maqam of the Prophets, alayhim wasalam. And then those who came after them, the Sahaba, those who were spent in their times in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the people who have that level of perfection. After them, we are sinful people. We will always make mistakes. We will always do wrong. And you know, we should realize this, that we cannot become perfect, but we can always make effort. There's no harm in making effort to achieve betterment. And alhamdulillah, that we are always in college for that as well. And we should be always in college to make ourselves better. And in the, there's no harm in actually being good in the matters of the dunya. You know, alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami doesn't teach us this, that don't be good in the matters of the dunya. I would advise, like, mashallah, your profession, becoming a doctor, which is very good, mashallah. And this advice should be given and to our children that they should, you know, alhamdulillah, be at a good standard in life. But that should not be just dunya alone. We should always have this mindset of learning and bettering ourselves in the matters of the deen, not just dunya. Alhamdulillah, everyone works for the being in the matters of the dunya, but how many of them work in the matters of the deen? Right? Yeah. For example, perfecting the basics, right? Your reciting of the Quran, your performing the salah, your, you know, doing basic ibadat. There's no perfections in them, right? There's no even perfection. There's no even a level in them. Person goes into the masjid as quick as he can, reads namaz, walks back out. Person reads Quran, he just wants to get that figure that I've done one Quran. He quickly wants to read that surah. And who knows how many mistakes he's making. Person even is doing tasbih, simple as reading Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah, the tasbih of Fatima. He's like this, you're not even saying the name of Allah correctly. So how can you gain perfection? So, you know, even these are the things which we should be working on, is able to do them in a calm manner, in a good way, you know, in a humble way, in a nice way. And learn how to do it right. Just say for an example of the Holy Quran. Now we recite the Quran. Right? How many of us, I tell you, you can say out of thousands, only a handful of people might know how to read Quran properly. It's a fact. Because a lot of us, we make mistakes. The difference between ha and ha, the difference between seen and sawed, right? The difference between ta and ta, these are just the letters which we can't make a difference in. Right? People read their namaz, you're reading Surah Fatiha, you're making mistakes, you're reading Surah Ikhlas, you're making mistakes. Right? Two different ways of, people are saying it. What is right? And now last, the views of Madhi Channel. So this will tell us that where we stand, that do we know what is right and what is wrong? Never mind perfection, at least getting it right. And this is what we should be try to work towards. Yes. Perfection is we cannot be perfect, right? And no matter how good you are, this is with Allah, and Allah grants it to His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
And you get that mindset from Dawat Islam itself, the mindset of you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect, you just have to try. Mm-hmm. You know, you also mentioned about having the dini part, but also having the dunya part. That's also a mindset that Dawat Islam gives you. Yeah? You can be a doctor, but don't leave Islam out. Learn your salah, read your Quran properly, recite the name of Allah properly. You know, we were talking about people reciting the Tasbih of Fatima really, really quickly. Another thing people do, and it's become a habit. Unfortunately, it's become a habit, and it's a habit that needs to go, is when the name of the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned, they don't even complete the Durood Sharif properly. Or is it, how long does it take? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second.
Same with writing. When you're writing a whole text, you write all the full text. You write the name of the Holy Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't even write peace be upon him. You be PBUH or whatever shortcut you do.
Or the other thing that they've started doing, SVS or SVW. Why? How long does it take?
So, perfection, you know, you mentioned about the pressure of being perfect. This is a pressure at times. And when this pressure of being perfect is normally related to the dunya, it matters. You know, everyone wants you to not make any mistake. You know, like the parents are expecting that the glass which is on the edge of the table doesn't get knocked over. Yeah, you put it there, and you want to make sure that it doesn't get knocked over. You put it at the edge. Someone's going to come along and someone's going to knock it over. And you're expecting this from a child as well. And the child makes mistakes, child runs around. This is the nature of a child. It's a child, and the nature of the glass is what?
To break.
So, you know, how are you your expectations of perfection with your own children, with your own family? You know, best thing is just look upon yourself. Are you perfect? If you are not perfect, how are your children going to be perfect? how your coming generation is going to be perfect. They're not going to be perfect.
It's an unrealistic thought as well. It's unrealistic. Like you said before, no one can be perfect except for Allah and the Anbiya and the angels that Allah Almighty has created. So just expecting that in the first place is unrealistic. And like you said, the parents themselves are not perfect. How can the kids be perfect? But isn't that... But then if we know this is happening, we know we can't be perfect, we know we're not perfect, the kids can't be perfect, what made them think that the kids can be perfect in the first place?
I think this is sometimes is a pressure from the elders, which has been passed down. Mm. So it's passed down from the elders, the grandparents, as you know, make sure your kids don't do this, or make sure they become like this. So it's like the pressure from his parents have been put on to him regarding his children, right? Or we gave you this, we gave you this upbringing, we made you a doctor, we made you this. Make sure your children are like this as well. So sometimes the pressure which is coming from behind, and it continues and it builds up to the next, and they're thinking, every doctor thinks that his child will become a doctor. It's not the case. Every lawyer will want his son to be a lawyer. It's not going to be the case. He might not have interest in it.
Mm.
It's the same way that every Hafiz of Quran is not going to have his son to become a Hafiz. And you know, not every child can become a Hafiz either. So even pushing them in that way, look, give them an opportunity, give them a mindset, give them tarbiyat, but don't force them into it. Don't force them to become something which they can sometimes not become. Right? And the sad thing is, Amilia Sunnah talks about that, you know, you even send them people to for the matters of deen, those who are the least intelligent. Right? The intelligent ones, you want to put them in college, universities, and get degrees. And the least intelligent, you want to put them into hifz.
Mm.
And then you expect them to become a proper hafiz, a strong hafiz. So these are things which matter, and we think. But again, parents overthinking of the child, it's not right. Giving them tarbiyah, teaching them, yes, making hope that they will become good, they will become excellent, they will become the best. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Mm. It should be there.
You know the part that you mentioned, sending the least smart to Dars e Nizami, for example, to Islamic universities or to do hifz, and the most clever one, send them to do medicine, send them to do law. That's another big thing. In fact, I've experienced that myself, of people phoning and saying, oh, my kid's got this, he's got this and this, he's not that smart. How does Jamia work? How can I put him in? Do you think Jamia will support him? He's got this in condition. He can't do medicine. He can't go to university. I was thinking to put him there. And then the other kids, oh no, they're busy. They're university. They're doing this and that. We're not telling you, don't send your child to Jamia. Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, welcomes everyone, no matter what condition they have, no matter what it is. But why is it that you've made the mentality that only the kid that you think is not perfect, because according to us and according to Islam, everyone's, I wouldn't say perfect because no one's perfect, but everyone's unique and beautiful in their own way. But we accept everyone, but why is it that you think that only that child that you deem not to be perfect, you have to send them
to me? Then I'm just generally smart. Yes, it's like that. You know, why this thinking is there? It should be removed.
Mm.
The thinking of the deen should be as equal. You know, alhamdulillah, we should be first giving I personally would say that first give your child the mindset of becoming a Hafiz first, before he goes in to get a degree. Because what happens is, once he's gained that degree, you become a doctor. 25, 30 years of your life have passed. Now where are you going to go towards hifz? Right? But if you have done hifz at the early age, or you've done the Islamic studies at the early age, alhamdulillah, those things will continue benefiting you throughout your life. And actually, it will open you up more in towards medicine, into other things of life, alhamdulillah. It will open your mind. You know, someone who's become a hafiz, his mind is very intelligent. It's a very intelligent mind, alhamdulillah. So, you know, some people don't realize this, but give them that education first. Otherwise, it could be too late. Or it won't be too late, but at least it becomes hard for the person to go towards the deen then, because you didn't give them that from day one. And we talked upon many of these aspects anyway. But we want perfection in the dunya. Perfection, I'm not saying perfection, but we want them to be the best, right? Mm. That's when we're talking about perfection. And in the matters of the deen, there's so many things which we are not able to do at all. Like little, little things about the deen, the basic aspects of deen. People haven't learned them. People haven't memorized them. You know, people are reading Surah Ikhlas in every rakat of their namaz. They haven't learned more than one surah, right? It's just Qul Huwallahu Ahad. That's all they know. They don't know
anything. Often not even that properly.
And even that, like I mentioned, Ahad and Ahad, right? People don't know the difference. Even that has been recited wrong. So, you know, when are we going to start learning the deen? When are we going to be start making ourselves better in the matters of the deen? And this is something which we need to start working on today. And the one of the reasons for these episodes, these silsilas, is bettering ourselves. So let's try to work towards perfecting ourselves or making ourselves better in the matters of deen, in basics of deen, recitation of Quran, knowing what you are reading, reciting it properly, your performing of your salah, the performing of your wudu even, not really before salah, the preconditions. You have the first condition before you can ever enter into salah, before you can touch the Quran, is purification.
Mm.
A person doesn't know how to do wudu properly.
You know, but the wudu is one thing. They don't even know how to do ghusl. They think ghusl is just a shower. That's another
isn't
thing.
Isn't it? Maybe you can tell the views of Madhya Chandra, isn't it a shower?
It's not just a shower. There's specific conditions to it. For example, you have to...
What difference is in a shower and ghusl? I think it's important that the views of Madhya Chandra know this.
The difference between a shower and ghusl is a ghusl, you have to make sure water reaches to the soft bones of your nose, and you also put water and clean your mouth, water in your mouth and wash it out. And you, every single part of your body has to have at least two drops of water flowing through it for it to be purified. Now that's easy with the shower, so you can't go into a shower and be purified, but you have to make sure all the conditions are met. But what happens now?
No one will put water into the nose in the shower or rinsing the mouth.
They won't do that. So and the other things is as well that they will miss parts too as well. So when you go in the shower, you go in and quickly come out and you think you're purified now. But no, you've missed the part behind your ear. You've missed the part in between your fingers. You've missed the part under your feet. So all things that you don't...
MashaAllah. So this is a MashaAllah for the viewers of Madhni Channel, learning about perfection. Making, not perfection, at least making it the acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is with a lot of things, perfecting ourselves or making ourselves better. And so inshallah, alhamdulillah, one of the unique ways is Dawat Islami's kafilas. This is what we call when a group of brothers, they leave their homes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is alhamdulillah done regularly throughout the world, alhamdulillah, many places of the world, that our brothers are traveling in the path of Allah for 3 days. 3 days we have, and we also have like 12 days. We have brothers traveling for 1 month. We have brothers traveling for 12 months, alhamdulillah, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, whichever time you can give for the deen, alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is having this service. And in these travels, we get to opportunity to learn the deen, to practice it, to basically correct our mistakes. So if someone wants to learn about the deen and correct them, this is a very beautiful method and a very beautiful way. Travel in the kafilas. These are called kafilas of Dawat Islami, inshallah. We'll find out where your local kafilas are traveling from and travel with the brothers, inshallah. Travel with the lovers of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will gain the love of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in your heart as well. You will gain many things about the deen, knowledge, and also alhamdulillah, you will also gain this opportunity to take the deen forward as well, alhamdulillah, through the works of da'wah. So many aspects, alhamdulillah, gained through this experience. It builds you up, alhamdulillah, to the extent that it will teach you skills of life, alhamdulillah. The kafilas are not just something which you go and you stay, you keep yourself in the masjid and that's it, you do the zikr of Allah. No, there's a whole experience behind it, alhamdulillah.
Kafla is it's an amazing and wonderful way to learn things. I have to agree with that because even myself, alhamdulillah, I can pretty much say that everything I've learned is either, the majority of the things I've learned is either through a kafila or through itikaf with Dawat Islami. And that is where majority of the things that I've learned come from. And every time I go on a kafila, we do the session where you learn about fiqh. So, for example, salah. And every time, even if we read the same thing again and again, every time I learn something new. Because someone will ask a question, or we travel with the youth, the youngsters kafila, and the youngsters often ask questions that I never think of in my mind. For example, one kid, we were having, I know it's not related to fiqh, we were having a fiqh session, but the kid randomly asked, what is the liwa al-hamd made of? What fabric is it made of? And that was a question that I have never ever thought of. Even Mufti Sahib, when we asked them, they hadn't thought of that.
You'd be surprised sometimes the youngsters ask, can we do this in Jannah? Right. Yeah, I don't know what they've got planned to do in Jannah, but they'll ask questions like this. And it's like this, alhamdulillah. It's a gaining of experience. And also, you know, learning to adopt with others. Because when you traveling like this, alhamdulillah, traveling, it teaches you a lot of things in life. It teaches you that there's many different types of people. People have different nature. And especially when you're traveling to other countries, you'll understand other people's nature and some of the things we might not see as wrong, but they will see, for them it's an insult, for them it's a very bad thing. And we can understand why. Knowing this, I think it makes a difference. And then adopting with differences. And, you know, some parts of the world, especially in the Western world, we find we have a mixed community of huge amount of different people. And everyone has different culture, different nature, different lifestyles. And they live alhamdulillah, these gafilas, they experience, give you the experience of when 10 to 12 different brothers are from 10 different homes with different habits, different nature. Alhamdulillah, it teaches you that to adjust with people. And alhamdulillah, this will make you strong in life. We had the 12-month kafila, and I invite you as well and the viewers of Madni Channel also to travel in the way of at least once in your lifetime for 12 months. You know, it's nothing big. I'm talking about your entire life. However, may Allah grant you a long, healthy life and the viewers of Madni Channel. But we live, say, for 40 years, for 60 years, however long we live. So 60 years, can't we take out of these whole 60 years, just 1 year, 12 months? For what? Allah, just for Allah. And we should have this in our mind. That should be given. Alhamdulillah, we have the kafilas of Dawat Islami. The viewers of Madni Channel want to travel on the kafilas of Dawat Islami. You can also ring in, inshallah, find out where you can travel, whichever part of the world you are in. And travel at least once in your life. I will invite you. Please make some niyat once in a lifetime, 12 months.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, make intention.
And inshallah, travel. You see the experience you'll get, alhamdulillah. And then when you will do the work of deen, you will do it in a different way, inshallah. That knowing how things work around you, inshallah. And anyway,
I mean, of course, the main reason we're doing this is for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. That is always the main reason why we're doing it. But alongside that, there's also other things that you gain that you don't even realize you're gaining. Life skills. The skill of communication. Public speaking. Leadership skills. Because they might make you an Amir of Kafla. Amir of Kafla, that's something big. Because you're now responsible for all those people there. And then all these things, all skills you're gaining, which will then help you with your worldly stuff as well. If you're a student, they will help you at university. They will help you get into university. And if you're working, they will help you in your other fields as well. So this is all things that they say, oh, I can't do this. I'm busy with this. I have to work towards university. But this will help you with that as well. As well as please Allah Almighty at the same time.
MashaAllah, you will build a lot of confidence within your lives as well, inshallah. That, you know, when you learn to speak, especially with one of the things which is taught on Kafla is Daras. Basically, how to deliver a little speech. And alhamdulillah, even announcements, we start with an announcement, you learn how to do an announcement, and then you learn how to do a little speech, and then from there, a proper speech, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, this gives you that, and Dawat Islami gives you that platform to do this as well. Not everywhere you will be given these opportunities.
100%.
So inshallah, for the viewers of Madni Channel, travel in the way of Allah, on the kafilas of Dawat Islami, inshallah. You'll gain so much from this, inshallah.
I mean, even if we look at us right now, Dawat Islami has given us this platform. Otherwise, who would take a youngster from university and put him on Madni Channel? This is our platform. Dawat Islami has given us this opportunity. Dawat Islami has taught us how to speak. So this is something that we want you guys to also think about, viewers of Madni Channel, that Dawat Islami is not just telling you leave everything. You when you come here, and you will learn things that will help you with your dunya as well, inshallah.
Now, talking about the pressure of perfection, there's something which our Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat says, subhanAllah, you always find me quoting the Sheikh because his advice is unique. He says that our work is not to force someone. Our work is not to force someone. This is talking to the preachers of the deen. That our work is not to force someone, but to advise them.
SubhanAllah.
Just advise them. It's not to force someone to do it. In the same way the Sheikh says, our work is not to change someone's heart. It's just to make an effort. We're not there to change people's heart. Our duty is what? Just make an effort. And that is what we will get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. The efforts. It is down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the hearts of people, to change the state of people. And we should continue making this effort. Inshallah, sometimes when we're thinking that how to make someone better, how to make someone good, it should be, these things should be kept in mind. Rather than, no, he needs to become perfect. He needs to have everything.
Mm.
Why is this missing out on you? If a parent is thinking like this of his child, why is my son not have this? I used to be doing this. You know, it's a common lecture which the parents give nowadays.
I used to do this.
Better when you were young. When I was young, I was doing all this. And look at you. Right? Think about it. That was 40 years ago, huh?
Mm.
That 40 years, the times were different as well. They lived in a different time, different atmosphere. They didn't have these distractions. So there was a lot of things the only thing they didn't have a device in their hands,
yeah.
Right? They had free time. So our parents need to understand this as well. That the children, what they are surrounded by, and actually not they are surrounded by, but we have surrounded them with. Who has given this device into the hands of the children? Okay, children... 5, 6 years old, little children as young as that, they are connected to the phone. Right? They're given a device. And I'm thinking, how can you give a device in the hand of a 5, 6 years old child? And then what is he going to learn? You know, a couple of days ago, I was studying on, you know, about the building of mind of children. You know, what stops a child's mind to be built is us as parents. You know, we never let them make an effort. Right? A simple thing as a child pouring water from a jug into a glass. What does the parents do? Mm-hmm. He stops him. He says, no, he's going to spill it. If you're going to think he's going to spill it, how is he going to learn? He's not going to learn. So we have to give the children this opportunity to let them do it. Right? But what we've done is instead of let them do these things, we just give them a device and let them listen to everything. He's thinking that everything's going to come into their mind. It's not going to happen. You know, little things as like pouring water from a jug into a glass. Let the child, it's going to spill and it's going to happen. But that child is going to learn. Right? Many other things like this, you have to let your children do that. And you know, like, you know, it's a simple thing as tying a shoelace. If you're going to be tying your son's shoelace, then he's going to be married and you're going to be tying his shoelace. He's never going to learn it. Right? And I've seen youngsters, I'm not going to ask you if you know how to tie your shoelace. But I've seen youngsters, they can't wear, they don't wear shoes with the ones you have to tie a shoelace because they never learnt it. It's not that hard to tie a shoelace. But sometimes we make people far away from goodness, far away from becoming better. And we never mind the concept of them being perfect, they're not learning the basics. So parents need to be looking at this, that how they need to be letting the children do this. Inshallah, this will build their mind. This experience will... be a means of growth within their skills, within their levels. Not telling them off on everything as well. This is what stops them. Right? Or let them answer the question. Give them a little bit of a pause. When you ask a child a question, right, let him think. And you know, sometimes soon, if we do it straight away, we tell him straight away, it takes the capability of him thinking and expanding his mind. So actually, a lot of the times we are stopping our children from becoming, going towards perfection. Going towards this becoming good experience. We are stopping the experience. So we have to give them opportunity. And it's also, same time, you need to know what are the things which will make their mind grow, the devices won't.
Mm.
Right? And even now, today, you know, when you have to prepare something, you turn to ChatGPT. You turn to ChatGPT, you know, and it's like every answer is there. When are you going to use your mind? Are you going to actually, and going forward with the future things, you know what's happening is, people are going to be creating their own stories from their own minds. It's not going to be what you will find on social media.
Mm.
This will be the creativity of a mind of a person which you'll see the future from. This is why, if the child is not able to use his mind today, he's relying upon every other source, rather than expand his own mind, he's not going to get any.
In the aim to make them perfect, you are setting them up for failure, essentially.
Yes.
Mm.
We need to be letting them, let them think. And you know, like I said, that pause should be always within every question.
Mm.
Give them that time to think, even if that answer is wrong, but that will expand their mind. Otherwise, you answered it. You know, like you ask someone a simple question and then you straight away giving them an answer. No, this is the answer. Don't do that. Let them think over it. Give them that pause. Inshallah, you'll see this will expand their mind, inshallah.
I think we can touch up on this a bit further in a future episode as well, because you know this constant pressure to make your child perfect is the same thing that then causes the other problems, like mental health difficulties and problems that then take them away from yourself and from society itself as well. So I think we can delve into this in a future episode as well. Jazakallah Abdullah Nadbai for the advice. I think specifically for the parents today, there's many lessons that can be learnt from the discussion that we had today. So inshallah, dear viewers of Madni channel, keep watching our series Overcoming Life. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Overcoming life. Life hits hard yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us we move along. Overcoming life.